Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
So the overarching question then, is there anything in your soul that believes that evil is more powerful than Jesus? And we don't want to take that as a light brush off. Like, of course not. Yeah, of course. Please don't convince yourself. Please do not allow yourself to be convinced in any way, shape, or form that the satanic phenomena called evil is more powerful than Jesus. Not even like a fraction. We need to allow the light of the Holy Spirit to shine on parts of our hearts that may have had some agreement with a false belief that there is some form of evil that is more powerful than Jesus. We have to allow ourselves to be confronted by the love of God. Yeah, is Jesus a judge? I would say yes. But I would say this, that the way that Jesus judges is he will shine his light on anything that hinders love, and he will judge that. Yeah? And so he's always constantly inviting us into the fullness of love, of his love and of our capacity to love. So that being said, beliefs that we have can create in us certain feelings, certain emotions, certain filters, as it were, and we make most of our life's decisions based on the things that we believe. Okay? I would say we make all of our decisions based on that. So here's the thing about and I've used these words, I've picked these words carefully. Satanic phenomena of evil. So don't get me wrong. The satanic phenomena of evil is powerful and destructive. And it's immensely complex on planet Earth. All right? But it is not more powerful than Jesus. And so when I speak of evil as a phenomena, I'm drawn to this idea that I was recently made aware of. I was listening to some YouTube conference stuff. There's some good stuff out there. And I was listening to this conference and these interviews and all this kind of stuff while I was holed up in my isolation for, 2 weeks because I got sick. And so after the first week of just being completely like exhausted and being completely unable to focus on anything, I went ahead and did the responsible thing and I stayed isolated for another week or close to it. And it was more like 11 days. And then, so I decided that was going to become my personal retreat. And so there were some things that I jumped into that were really helpful for me. And so this idea of phenomena is interesting. I want to kind of relate it to the idea of the phenomena known as hurricanes. All right? The ingredients needed to produce a hurricane, they're actually pretty simple on planet Earth. All right? You need warm water, a thunderstorm helps, and you need low wind shear. And, of course, you got the rotation of the Earth. And all of that basically turns into hurricane fuel. Okay? Now, here's where it gets interesting. The International Meteorological Society, or whatever they're called, they name these things. And there's a cycle of names they go through about every 6 years, right? So they name these things. And so they actually like personify this phenomenon called a hurricane by naming it. Now, here's the interesting thing. I do not believe that a hurricane is a person, even though it might have the name Katrina. It doesn't mean that I don't believe in hurricanes. It just, you know, it just means that it's not a person. It is incredibly destructive. Okay, just ask anyone who lives on the eastern seaboard, right? Come hurricane season. I just don't believe that they're people. The phenomenon of a hurricane is real. It's destructive. It's powerful. There are certain ingredients that, when put together just right, man, there it is. In the same way, evil is actually not in the same way. Evil is actually much more complex. Much more complex. But it is still a mix of things, right? It's a mix of things like pride and deception and manipulation and domination and just a long list of things, right, that form up to create this phenomenon called evil. And it's very complex, and it's a blend of these things. And what makes it even more complex is you add the dynamic of the psycho-spiritual nature of human beings and how we can have agreement with things, both in the seen world and the unseen world. Okay, you get the idea that this is becoming very complex. And it does have a tremendous impact on creation. Evil does. It's not as complex as... let me just stop there. But let me just say this. We still like to personify evil. We do. We like to name it. Evil is not a person. Although some of you might argue with me, well, he's got a name. His name is Satan. Well, like I said, evil is not a person. And the phenomena, the satanic phenomena of evil is very real and it's very destructive. Okay? I still believe it, you know, it exists even though it's not a person. Just like the hurricane thing, right? So here's the deal. Let me just kind of change channels just slightly, just move it a little bit over, because, you know, sometimes when we use words like evil, we associate it with picture language like darkness. And I think there's some validity to that. I mean, God does that. I mean, it's in the scripture that when Jesus came and redeemed us, he delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom, the marvelous kingdom of his son Jesus, which is the kingdom of light. And he is the light of the world, and we are the lights. You know, so that works for me. Light and dark, evil, goodness. It's okay. We've heard it said that darkness is the absence of light. Now, George, I didn't steal this from your talk necessarily. I did, I mean, I'm listening, but I didn't steal it. But I will tell you this, that... that I think that, you know, at some level, you know, we could say that darkness is the absence of light. But I don't know if that's altogether true if what is dark is called a black hole. Think about this. I mean, that's dark, but it's got some power to it, and it's a phenomena that will suck you in and spit you out on the other side of antimatter into oblivion. Okay? I mean, I'm being very dramatic. It's kind of fun. But it's true. So there are things called black holes, right? And they're dark. It's not just the absence of light. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, great. For the sake of this message, I will say that at some level, you know, darkness is the absence of light. I mean, think about it. One of the things that I have to sort of help make a claim to is this. And this is where, you know, you just get to enter into my own personal questions with God. You get to become aware that while I stand here and I share with you, it does not mean that I have it all figured out. I'm still working on this one, okay? But one of the things that I am more convinced of now than I was a year ago, certainly more than I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, is this idea that While God did create the heavens and the earth, and initially darkness covered the face of the deep, I do not believe that God created darkness. Darkness was the result of an incomplete creation, as it were, in the sense that, you know, on the first day, God created what? Light. So God created light, and then darkness had to submit to light, whether that was manifested through the sun or the moon or the stars. So there's this completion of creation that comes, that overcomes darkness. There's a completion of creation that comes that overcomes evil. Because I personally don't believe that God created evil. It doesn't mean that evil is just the absence of God. Evil has, just like a black hole, evil has a power. Like when Adam and Eve Eve initially, when she was actually introduced to evil, she had a conversation with it. So darkness in and of itself may not have a voice, but evil does. So again, a little more complex, right? Because one of the challenges that we have as human beings with the psycho-spiritual nature of who we are and how we think and how we feel and how our souls and our spirit life intertwine is we have to discern the kind of conversations we're having with the spirit realm. And sometimes, you know, we're having a conversation with something that's malevolent in the sense that it's trying to deceive, it's trying to get us in some way, shape, or form to believe with a lie, like to line ourselves up with something that is false. And I would say that in and of itself is like a threshold for evil to take root. And when I say evil, it doesn't mean that you're just going to turn into some, you know, psychopathic, you know, maniac. It means that you're going to be influenced by something that God did not create for you. Like you're going to be influenced by something that can be destructive. You're going to be influenced by something that would take life from you as opposed to giving life to you. All right? And so this idea and this question, this overarching question is, you know, is there any belief in you that you've come into agreement with? It's not just, you know, do you believe that there's any sort of evil that's stronger than God or Jesus? There's any number of false things that we can believe with. Okay, so let me kind of regroup here. Let me find my place. Let me get my thoughts around this. I don't want to lose this at all. Okay, so while I do not believe that God directly created evil, I believe that what God has done is he's created choice. And you and I get to choose, just like angels do. Right? Are we going to surrender our lives to the centrality of Jesus or not? Are we going to yield and surrender our lives to the centrality and the supremacy of Jesus or not? Are we going to identify with his death, his burial, his resurrection? Or are we going to believe the lie? Now I'll say the lie, because it's been the same lie that's been plaguing human beings from before, I don't even know. I don't know the time stamp on all this stuff, but it's the lie that Satan believed. That he will be like God. It's the lie that he enticed Eve with. And you will be like God. It's the lie that continues to plague us as human beings. And if we come into agreement with it, then what we enter into is a spiritual pride that we are equal to or greater than God. And what that does is in our minds, it makes God less significant. It makes God small. Not really. I mean, he's still God. But because God created choice and he gives us the power to choose who God's going to be for us, if God's going to be supreme or not, then we get to choose. And so in a very real sense, will the agreement with the deception push God out and create an absence, create a void, as it were? And will that void make way for the phenomena of evil to grow in intensity in our lives? So a few months ago, this all came to a head for me personally. I was walking. A lot of you know that I spent a lot of time this summer walking. And I was walking quite a distance. And I was walking into the Wamanutch Wilderness area. I've shared some of this before, but there was a false belief that plagued me, for decades, that the Lord put his light on for me. And I'll kind of share a little bit about how that went. The question was this. The question was, in my own heart, I'm walking and I'm pondering this, I'm thinking about this. And the question is this: what is preventing me from fully surrendering into the life and the will of Jesus, like fully? You need to know that there were, you know, aspects of my heart that were like a little hesitant, you know, to fully allow myself to go into the unknown with Jesus, to let faith really rule my heart, to step into the things that were unseen, to go there. And it kind of boiled down to this fear that I had. And the fear was that God would not protect the ones that I love the most. Now, you come by these things, I wouldn't say honestly. You come by these things through experience of loss. So we're going first full circle back to this idea about how loss and pain can make us short-sighted. Loss and pain can make us short-sighted because it gets us focused in on the pain, and what we lose is the long-term vision of restoration. And so if we agree with the nature of this short-sighted atmosphere around our hearts, fear grows, an anticipation of a bad outcome. Hope is the opposite of that. That's the anticipation of a good outcome, right? And that's like hope for redemption and hope for restoration. And so why is that a fear? Like, I'm just giving you this as an example, because maybe when you're on a long walk, you can be asking God these things. Is there anything in my heart that is preventing me from fully surrendering into the life that you have for me? And just wait and listen. He might bring up some fear. He might bring up some other thing. But for me, it was this. So you can't just like stop there and then beat yourself up for days. It's better if you just say, why is that there? It's a little exploration. Like, where did that come from? Like, this might be a good way to phrase the question. When was the inception of that fear? What occurred? And for me and my story related to my grandfather and my father, what I basically came to agreement with when I was a young man was that addiction is stronger than Jesus. It took my grandfather out, and it disengaged me from my father for many, many years. And so back to the original question. Is there any... What was the original question? Is there anything in your soul that believes evil is more powerful than Jesus? This was it for me. That I believed that evil manifesting itself in addiction was more powerful than Jesus. And therefore, Jesus was incapable of protecting the ones that I loved, because there was something that was stronger than him. And it took out my grandpa, and it disengaged me from my dad for many, many years. You see where this goes? And so I'm so grateful that the Lord would be kind enough to actually shine his light on this thing, even though it wasn't easy. Like, there's a grief in that. There's an awareness that I've, like, here's a question for you. This is what I had to ask myself. You follow in this train of thought. Oh, okay. Now, what has it cost me to believe this? Really let yourself go into that. Don't get stuck there. It's not a cul-de-sac that you do donuts in. You know, go in there and come on out. Because it's an okay awareness of saying, look, it has cost me something to believe this. I won't stop believing it unless I come to terms with what has really cost me to actually believe this, right? It's not just about, oh, I want to believe the truth. It's like also rejecting the falsehood. Like, that has cost me something. Evil costs us. There's a price to believing things that are not true. The destructive nature of evil is real, and it's a phenomenon that impacts all of creation. And so, I'm listening to the baby cry. Sweet thing. So, walking into the Wamanutch, it was so good. And so, just that, I'll just say this, that all of these emotions, whether that's fear or joy or delight or insecurity, whatever it is, it's all tied to some belief. Whether that belief is rooted in truth or falsehood. It's going to generate something in us. And that's usually going to fuel some decisions that we make in life, right? So in this fear that I was struggling with and how it was attached to this false belief that addiction was stronger than Jesus and that, you know, God was incapable of protecting the people that I love because of all of that kind of stuff, Jesus was faithful to shine his light on that because he knew I needed healing in that area. So when you go through that process of even coming to terms with what it's cost you, that's when you can really start to go full circle with this grief. And you can start to experience a consolation of the Holy Spirit. And you start to lift your gaze a little bit into the bigger vision of restoration. It doesn't have to be this way. Things can change. Transformation is real. I get to be more like Jesus because I'm believing lies less and I'm lining myself up with the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is bigger than any form of evil and he is fully in control. And so Colossians 1, 15 to 17, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities. All things that have been created were created through him and for him for his purposes. And he is before all things. He existed before all things. And in him all things hold together and endure. This is the Jesus that I started to enter more like fully into. Like, oh, if I don't have this filter that you're incapable of protecting the ones that I love, then what does that mean? Like, how does that change my vision of you, Jesus? So this past year, I did have a vision of Jesus. I was in a time of prayerful meditation, just asking the Holy Spirit to take over my imagination, to bring me into an experiential encounter with Jesus. And he did. Now, I shared this last week when I went to the Aspen Grove at Kathy's house. Thank you for that. The thing that, you know, we talked about at the Aspen Grove was, do you have a Christ-like image of God? So that was interesting. It was a really great conversation. And one of the things that I came to terms with was that my vision of God and Jesus began to it's not only broadening, but it's also like, it's kind of like this. God the Father, to me, is more like Jesus, but Jesus is also more grand, more immense. To the point where I had this vision with Jesus and he was the epicenter, the eye of the hurricane, as it were. And and Jesus as the epicenter had this, it was very interesting because he was bigger than life. Like, I've known Jesus to be the most personal and the most like near, connected lover of my soul. And my vision of Jesus is expanding. And he's not only that, but he's also enormous. And he was standing in this place, like in this field. And around him, starting at his feet, were the tiniest of creatures. And they all had wings. So it's all the winged creatures, you know. So the tiniest little gnat, whatever the smallest little insect is. And then as we go up, this broadens and the creatures are now getting bigger. And now they're like, you know, hummingbirds. And now they're like hawks. And now they're like eagles. And then it goes out of this world. And now they're like angels. And now they're like things I've never seen before with wings that are described in the scripture, right? So all of these amazing creatures that are just, you know, surrounding Jesus. And it brings me back to this, you know. And it says that all things were created through him and for him. And he holds all things together. Like he is the epicenter. So I want to just share that with you. Because the satanic phenomena of evil manifests itself in a lot of different ways on planet Earth. But it is not more powerful than Jesus. The satanic phenomena of evil manifesting itself as abortion is not more powerful than Jesus. The satanic phenomena of evil manifesting itself as racism or as sexual perversion or as abuse or as fill in the blank is not more powerful than Jesus. We're not going to kid ourselves. There is evil in this world and it is destructive. So we'll heed the words of Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who replace darkness with light and light with darkness. Who replace bitter with sweet and sweet with bitter. But as people who have the Spirit of Christ active in our lives, we've been given the spiritual gift of discernment, right? And we are able to accurately tell the difference between good and evil. That said, we're also encouraged not to personify evil in Ephesians 6:12. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. So that is real, but they are not people. So what do we do with this? Now, there's been a cry in this nation for prayer. And I'll champion that. Yes, let's pray because the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And it is able to bring down strongholds. Let's pray. And in this battle of good and evil, our choices still matter. So, of course, prayer is a choice. But so is resisting the enemy and submitting to God. That's a choice. We still get to choose. And so I would say, yes, let's pray. And also, let's take inventory of our own choices and how we're in agreement with, or we're resisting anything that's foul, anything that's evil, or are we submitting? This was the big question, like, what is preventing me from fully submitting into the life and, you know, the will of Jesus? So submission into Jesus, that's really powerful for us. And I think that what that does is it pushes and diminishes the impact and the effects of evil. I think we really have an authority as the body of Christ to resist the enemy. And we resist him not only in prayer, but in the decisions that we make and how we're going to live our lives. Because kind of in closing here, Romans 12:21 makes it very, very simple and clear for us. Romans 12:21. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. Let's do more good things. Let's do more good things. I think this is where I know for me personally, and I know some of my friends, we've struggled with this idea that we get kind of lost in our ideas. We get kind of lost in our words. But the Bible is very clear that your faith is more than words. It's more than ideas. It's action. So we overcome evil with good. And so that being said, it's a partnership with Jesus that brings goodness to the world. And so kind of in closing, again, Colossians 1, I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 this time. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself, and he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. I love how it all was weaving together today. So that's God's way of bringing all things into completion with Christ. And just like darkness was kind of a representation of an incomplete creation, I believe that evil is also, you know, Jesus made things complete. Yep. So we want to enter into the completeness of Christ. And we want to be manifesting the goodness of Christ, which brings completion. So where evil once had its impact, the restoration and completion of God's creation is going to overcome evil, and the goodness of God in Christ is going to shine. So that's the encouragement that I have for us. And with that, I'd like to actually engage in some prayer, because I know some of you have been impacted by illness, which is, I believe, a part of the phenomena of evil. God never intends that. God will bring restoration and redemption. And so, and back to kind of the idea about belief and about letting the Holy Spirit shine his light, I'm going to pray for that as well. So I want to pray for healing, physical bodies, and then I also want to pray that while you go on these long walks with Jesus and you have these kind of conversations, whether it's literal walks or metaphoric, I want you to just allow those questions to rise up. Am I believing that there's any form of evil that is more powerful than Jesus? Am I believing anything that is, you know, preventing me from entering into the fullness of what Christ has? What is that? Where did that come from? What does it cost me to believe that thing? And how does Jesus want to bring healing and restoration so that I move into a life of transformation in that area of my life? So Jesus, in your strong name, we pray right now for the healing power of God to come to these ones who have residual effects of being sick recently, within this last month or so, some even longer. And Lord, we just want to pray right now in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ that healing would come to their physical bodies. And so I speak out into the realm of the Spirit and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. If you're joining us on Facebook and you're sick or you have someone in your family who is sick, let's just join with you in praying that Jesus is healing. Let's just pray right now that the power of Christ is coming in fullness to bring restoration. So I speak to your bodies and I say, receive the healing virtue of Jesus Christ now in his name and in his authority. Be restored. Every cell, every part of your body that was affected, your lungs, your fatigue, your sense of smell or taste, even your concentration and your ability to focus, your cardiovascular system, the whole nine yards. Let's just press in and just ask Jesus to manifest your goodness. Where evil has tried to come and rob people of their health, we just declare now that the restorative work of Jesus is going to bring strength, full function, no residual effects in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are more powerful than illness. We declare that as a truth, and we choose to enter into that reality. Yeah, your blood is enough, Jesus. And by your stripes, we have been made whole. We are healed. Thank you, Lord. More of your power, more of your presence. This is not a cursory prayer. Like, we're pressing in, people. We're going to war for our friends in the realm of the Spirit. And we just declare right now that these ones who have been affected by illness, they are being fully protected now by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so we command every foul thing that has wanted to bring affliction, any foul thing that has wanted to bring infirmity, we banish you in the strong name of Jesus. You go to the foot of the cross right now, and you go where Jesus tells you to go. You submit to Him and to His authority. Now, I bless your spirits, each one of you who have been sick. I bless your spirits to rise up and to take its rightful place as having dominion over your soul and your physical body. Speak to your own body. Speak to your own soul. Be kind to yourself. Let the words of Christ wash over you. You are united with Him. You're seated with Him. You have His mind. I bless you in your journey of healing and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and the last thing I wanted to pray for here is about the question, is there any place in your soul where you believe that some form of evil is stronger than Jesus? You don't have to try to answer that now. You don't need to go in there with a Roto-Rooter. You just ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to light. Jesus, we all want to be on this journey. I'm quieted right now because I'm thinking about faith the size of a mustard seed. It can move mountains. And sometimes agreeing with a false belief is a mountain. And it blocks the way. And so Jesus, this is where we just get to be personal with you and just ask you, help us with the faith that we have to trust you, to bring your light into any area of our hearts where we have believed that evil is stronger than you in some way, shape, or form, or that you're incapable in some way, shape, or form. And Lord, I just bless my friends as they go on these walks with you. Whether it's an actual walk or just a journey, sitting in the comfort of their morning chair, asking you, Lord, bring your light. Lord, I pray that your protection would be over each one who chooses to enter into that question and that invitation. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring transformation and move the mountains as we say yes to you. So, Father, thank you that you are in the business of bringing life and restoration now in this season. And we say yes to it. Lord, help us to lift our eyes to the broader vision of you making all things new. And we trust you in this, and we thank you for it. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Amen. It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.